time for. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and glorify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, The love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day, 25th Sunday of Pentecost, but as we look forward to Thanksgiving this week, is hymn number 840, Now Thank We All Our God, verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Hymn 840, verses 1 and 3.
The first reading is from the book of Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. The Lord has consecrated God's guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will the Lord do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries out aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet, blast, and battle cry, against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them. On the day of the Lord's wrath, in the fire of God's passion, the whole earth shall be consumed for a full and terrible end. God will make of all the inhabitants of the earth the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 90. We will read it responsively. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all the generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turn us back to dust and say, "Turn back, you mortals."
For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away, they are like a dream. Like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
Our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh.
The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong.
Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger?
Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you.
So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, "There is peace and security," then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for all are children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night, or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus, the Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Sunday after Pentecost. It's from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus speaks this parable to his disciples and followers. Jesus says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here's the bridegroom, come out to see him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there's not enough for you. There will not be enough for you or for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And he replied, 'Amen, I tell you, I do not know. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ."
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Tennille did a very fine job of reading, thank you very much, but you should have been taken back by the readings. If you weren't, go home and read them this afternoon. We end the church year. We have today and next Sunday is the end of the church year. December 3rd is the first day of the new church year in the church. Okay? Not New Year's in the world, but New Year's for us. So we end the church year the same way that we begin the church year, and that's with the final coming of Christ, with doom and destruction. I mean, the first two readings today, you did a great job, because it was just like doom and gloom and, oh my word, and pestilence and wars, and everything's going to be dark and awful. I said, well, happy Thanksgiving. I had three choices today. Some of you who were here last week, how many of you have heard that gospel before? Last week? Yeah, last week. Somebody, what's wrong with Pastor Beek? I had three choices. Thanksgiving, gospel, which is from Luke. I had the follow-up of this 14 through 28. Go home and read that. I didn't want to preach on it. And then I had this. I didn't preach last week. We did a mission festival. We did 4 baptisms. Got another one coming up. Our newest member of the community and congregation, Harley, is here with her family. Yay! All dolled up, too, with bows and ribbons. And she beat you to that. Yeah, she's a looker, okay? So I'm preaching on this, because I love this parable. And especially after looking at it last week, 2 weeks ago, and then this past week also. Because most scholars and theologians who comment on this parable say these things. You need to be ready, you need to be prepared, you need to stay awake. And it says all those things in the parable. Okay? Be ready, be prepared, stay awake. Because Christ is coming. The bridegroom is going to come. And you want to not be left out. The holy days, you know me well enough after 16 years, the holy days, which the word holidays comes from, it's not a commercial word. It's not to get away from Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or anything. The holy days are coming. And if as a menial pastor, I make you name them all, but I'm not going to have you do that. Holy days in the Beek family was Thanksgiving. It's not really a religious holy day, but it is in the Beek family. Thanksgiving, Advent, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and Epiphany, January 6th. It all happens before Lent, Ash Wednesday, which is the first week in February this year. Oh boy. Easter's the last Sunday in March this year. Not that it matters to you, because we haven't even gotten to Christmas yet, but it's really early. Okay, there's a 22-day span there where Easter can happen because of the moons and everything. March 31st, I think it is Easter. It's crazy. Theologians say you need to be ready, prepared, stay awake, because the holy days are coming. Christ is coming, God with us. Thanksgiving, Advent, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Epiphany. All the stores, without exception, and Madison Avenue, want you to think that you have to be really, really prepared and ready for anything and for everything. Years ago, I thought the end of the world was going to come. Not because it was predicted in some VCR tape or some book or anything. It's because I didn't put a Christmas tree up. I did not put a Christmas tree up. Even in college, I went and I stole boughs and branches off the evergreen trees at PLU, and I made a little vase of trees, and we decorated it with toothbrushes and combs and whatever we had. I was an art major. You think I could do better than that, toothbrushes and combs, but yeah, that's what we did. It was the 70s, pop art. Every year of my life, until I moved to Idaho, and the first couple of years I had a Christmas tree here too. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Ask the people who put up a Christmas tree. A few years ago, I thought the end of the world was really going to come. And I didn't admit it to anyone because it was going to be my fault because I didn't put a Christmas tree up. The end of the world didn't come. I still celebrated Christmas and all that. My excuse is that we've got trees in this building that are just rival my tree. Forget that. I come and sit with Jesus for an hour or two Sunday morning and just stare at the tree, you know? Better than anything I could do in my home. This year's gonna be a wowie, okay? Just a little teaser. It's gonna be amazing this year. I've seen a foretaste of the feast to come. We have a member of the congregation. I found out at Sunday school Thursday night, put her tree up October 1st. Good for her. You know, some people leave them up all year long, and then they have to get the cobwebs off and the bugs out and that. October 1st, she put up her tree. And then her daughter said, well, we had a Halloween tree. And the top was the witch's hat. I said, cool. This week they have a Thanksgiving tree. And after Thanksgiving, this next weekend, they're going to do a Christmas tree. That's a lot of work. I mean, three trees since October 1st, bless you. But they're ready, and they're celebrating the holy days. Not only the ones that come, but the ones that have passed by, like All Saints Day Eve, All Hallows Eve, and the like. I've had officially four weddings in the past 2 months. I haven't had weddings for years and years, especially through the pandemic. Four weddings in the past 2 months. And boy, do I know bridesmaids. The one wedding we had, one bridesmaid. Well, the one wedding on top of Mount Hood, there were two dogs. No bridesmaid, no groomsmen, the two dogs. They told me they were going to do dog prints out of the mud onto the license. Their friend had done it with a cat. It was legal in Oregon. Really? The one wedding, there were no bridesmaids. The other wedding, there was one bridesmaid. And then the other two, we had five or six on either side. I know bridesmaids. But it's not about the bridesmaids, really. They're just a foil. A MacGuffin, Alfred Hitchcock would say in his movies. A MacGuffin is that thing that, you know, people get tripped up by, but it really has no meaning. Don't quote me now. Bridesmaids have meaning. Okay? But the theme of the whole parable are these two verses. Later the bridesmaids came also saying, Lord, open to us. But he replied, Amen. Confirmation students, you pay attention when that word is said. Amen, I tell you, I do not know you. That's the kernel of the whole parable. It's not about being ready or prepared or awake or having enough oil. We're going to sing about that in a few minutes. It's about being known and knowing who the bridegroom is. When I was growing up, my dad, my sister, and I loved pretzels. Pretzels. You know, the classic ones or the stick ones. And then there were those big ones that looked like cigars. Yeah. But soft pretzels? I didn't discover those until I was in high school or college. Soft pretzels with some Grey Poupon mustard and a pitcher of beer? Like you died and went to heaven. That's what Martin Luther used to eat. Pretzels. My dad would have a bottle of beer. My sister and I would just eat the plain pretzels. We were too young for that. Didn't like beer anyway. And they were a delicacy and a luxury in the Beek household. We could not afford a bag of pretzels. So maybe twice a year or so, Dad would go out and he'd buy one without my mom knowing it. And we would, you know, make it last for a month or 2 months and sit down with Dad and eat pretzels, okay? My sister, the end of this summer, this year, sent me a bag of pretzels as a gift. She goes, look what we found. These pretzels are made in a little town in North Dakota by a woman. Okay, do you know what they are? Yeah, they're called dot pretzels. Some of you know what they are. Wow, good, then you know what I'm talking about. My sister sent them to me, and she paid $5 for the bag, because I think they're $4.99 or some crazy thing. We could have never had them as kids. And she bought the bag, she goes, Mom, you send these to John. $10.95 postage. My mother said, you better like those pretzels, because I paid twice as much for the postage as she paid for the pretzels. And I opened the bag, and it takes a while to get used to them, because they're really good, but they're not like a normal pretzel, okay? And if you've never had one, let me know at coffee hour, I'll buy you a bag. You're all worth a bag of pretzels at $5 a bag, because I won't send them to you, though. I ate the whole bag, and I bought myself one or two more bags. I can do that. Okay? Can't drink beer anymore since COVID, but what the heck. The pretzels are good on their own. And I thought, I need to send these to my roommate from seminary, Steve. He lives in Cleveland. So I ate the whole bag. I thought, I'm not going to pay $5 for a bag of pretzels for him. I'm not going to pay $10.95 to send it to him. So I folded up the bag and I paperclipped a little note saying, these are really good. Go buy yourself some. True story. True story, I'm not embellishing this at all. I call up my mom. I always call her up and say, what's for lunch? I always ask about fruits and vegetables because I want her to be healthy. You know, she's 89 years old. She can eat anything she wants, and she does. She said, I've been eating those dot pretzels with cream cheese and having a Coke. I said, well, you got dairy and you've got, you know, some fiber there with the pretzels. Yay. She goes, they're so I sent the empty bag with the paperclip note saying, Steve, you're going to love these. Go buy yourself some. That next week, he got his mail, and he called me up, and he said, quote, this, after 42 years, you don't know me. I don't like pretzels. I thought, boy, am I glad I didn't pay $15 postage for the pretzels. I don't like pretzels. And it cut me to the heart, because we've been through, for 42 years, we've known each other since seminary. 1982, we round up. I've been there for all of his nieces and nephews' birth. I've been there when he adopted his son. We've been there through death and dying. My father, his parents, aunt and uncle, Uncle Ted and Aunt Bev. It was like my aunt and uncle died. It was like, we've been together through everything. And he's a pastor, you know that. And so we've been through the whole church thing. The good, the bad, and the ugly over all the years. And every pastor has the good, the bad, and the ugly. But he said to me, and it cut me to the heart, after 42 years, you don't know me. Do you very well? I don't like pretzels. I was in the grocery store this past week. And I passed the Dots pretzels. And they didn't have the original ones. They had some home-style thing or something. I thought, I want to buy the original ones. I don't want the hot and spicy whatever. And I was like, no. I thought, I'm going to buy him a bag of pretzels. And I'm going to send it to him. I went to the bakery, and they had the big sack of 10 soft pretzels that are dinner plate size. Soft pretzels, 10 in a bag. I don't know how much they were, around $8 or some crazy thing. I put it in my cart. I went down the pretzel aisle. I love the little ones, because you can eat half a bag. You know, that's one serving, half a bag. Pretzel sticks. And they just go in so easy. I sent Steve a 4-foot box, 9 inches by 9 inches, with 3 bags of pretzels in it. And I put a note in there saying, Happy Thanksgiving! These aren't for you. They're for your family to enjoy. Bingo. Little knife in the heart there, right? You know? And I know this family. We've had Thanksgiving together many, many times. They like me. Because I stay and I talk to them at the table. He goes to his bedroom and, you know, takes a nap. That John's a really nice guy. He's easy to talk to. Well, no kidding. I'm a guest. I flew all the way to Cleveland, Ohio to be with you. Now, it's been 11 years since I've done that. But it cut me to the quick. After 42 years, you don't know me. And I thought of this gospel reading. The Lord said nothing about oil and lamps, and then he says, Amen, I tell you, you do not know me. The door is not open to you. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's not about being prepared or ready or staying awake or having your Christmas tree up in October for Halloween and November for Thanksgiving and giving thanks, and it's a beautiful tree. And then for Christmas, it's not about that at all. The end of the world won't come if you don't decorate. I was maybe not going to decorate this year. Boy, talk about Grinch. But Fred Meyers, the night I bought pretzels, 4 feet long, worth of them, they had their cedar garland. And I love to make a wreath. Every year I make a wreath out of green boughs and that. And cedar garland's easy. Well, they had it there outside by the front doors. I thought, oh, it's a sign from God. I'm supposed to decorate. So I bought two hanks, 15 foot each, of cedar boughs that I'm going to make into a wreath this week after I'm done cooking a 25-pound turkey that I hope to find. I can't find them anywhere. I may go to Ken's and order one. I've done that before. They look at me like I'm insane. You're single, aren't you? Yes, I am. But Jesus and Elijah are coming to my house for Thanksgiving. I'm setting the table and everything. Yeah, table for three. I'm going to eat for all of them. It's about knowing who the bridegroom is. All 10 bridesmaids, maidens or virgins, depending on which, you know, King James Version, they interpreted it right from the Greek, virgins. And then we went maidens, and now it's bridesmaids. All 10 of them brought oil with their lamps. I mean, they weren't that foolish or that dumb, okay? I know bridesmaids that hadn't brought their underwear or their slip, or they forgot their shoes at home or at the motel. But they brought oil in their lamp. But 5 of them knew the bridegroom on to think, he's going to be late. He's going to show up at midnight. Instead of 8 o'clock, it's going to be midnight when he comes. And we're going to have extra oil. All 10 bridesmaids had their lamps and oil, but 5 were smart enough to bring a reserve because they knew who the bridegroom was. All 10 bridesmaids became drowsy and slept. You know, the very last verse I didn't quote was, stay awake, for you don't know when he's coming. All 10 bridesmaids fell asleep. He didn't show up at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. He showed up at midnight. They were tired. It had been a long day. Lots of photographs. All 10 bridesmaids were excited about the arrival of the bridegroom, without exception. They got up, they woke up, and they were thrilled. And then the foolish bridesmaid said, uh-oh, he really came late. We're not going to have enough for the whole wedding party. Our lamps are going out. Share with us. And the other one said, no way, Jose. Wear your own shoes and your own slip and that. No, I'm not going to share my oil with you. And so then they go at midnight, you know, this theologians love this. At midnight, they were sent off to go buy oil at Kmart or cans or, you know, or something. And they come back and the door's closed. And the bridegroom says, Amen, I tell you, I do not know you. My roommate from 42 years ago that we've kept in touch with, weekly, I sent him a letter. I said, you don't know me at all. I hate pretzels. Well, wait till you, I called him and said, wait till you, I sent you a Thanksgiving box. You're going to be so excited. And I didn't tell him what it was. I hope he doesn't listen to the recording of this because it'll blow the whole thing out of the water. You did not know me. You don't know who I am. After all those years, I don't eat pretzels. I know what his favorite color is. I know what his favorite music is. I know what his favorite food is. You know, you eat pretzels? Who knew? That'd be a deal breaker. Oil in a lamp? Who knew? I mean, the bridesmaids were obviously bridesmaids for a reason. They were known by the family. They were part of the family, okay? All that kind of stuff. But they did not know the bridegroom. And that indeed he might be a little late. 5-6 hours. And so they weren't allowed in. It's not about being ready or prepared or staying awake or alert or putting up a Christmas tree or not putting up a Christmas tree or putting out Christmas decorations. I try to make the outside of my house look beautiful. The inside, that's a lot of work. Too many steps between the basement and the 12 boxes of Christmas stuff and the upstairs. I'm getting too old for that trek. I did that a couple years and I'm done. If I had a manservant or a maidservant or a donkey, I'd decorate inside of the house. And I do a little bit. I mean, I do. But the outside, I really try to make it look nice. But it's not how prepared you are, or how awake, or how ready. It's about knowing the bridegroom. Do you know Christ? You are here. I'm preaching to the proverbial choir. I know that. You know Christ, and you're here on this holiday week when we pray for travelers, especially college students. And we pray for all those who will be in airports and the like. They say now that COVID is somewhat over, it's still out there, and people are still getting sick. But this Sunday, coming up, a week from today, will be the biggest traveling day in the history of the world for airports. They're predicting that already. Supposed to have 2 inches of snow last night. We'll see how many inches of snow. It always happens when the college students are driving. Coming home for Thanksgiving, college student. Mackenzie? Oh, Hawaii. Oh, forget. Yeah, I'm with you, Carol and Brooklyn. I'll be here. You and Elijah and Jesus come to my house for Thanksgiving. That's right. Mackenzie Long College, University of Montana, is going to Hawaii for I think it's Christmas.
No.
It's Thanksgiving. Oh. And Mom and Dad are going too. I mean, why not? Chaperone. Yeah. She's been two of the bridesmaids in the past 4 weddings. Mackenzie Long, this is a digression. I should just say amen. But Mackenzie Long has been 2 of the bridesmaids in 2 of the weddings of the 4. And oh my, you ask Grandma and Mom to see a picture of that. Yeah. Her grandmother and I said, when did that all happen? When did she go from a little 12-year-old girl that loved basketball to being this young lady that every guy at the wedding, both of them, couldn't wait to dance with her and couldn't wait to sit with her and couldn't wait to visit with her? Because she's this beautiful blonde college student. It's not how prepared you are, or how ready you are, or how awake you are. They all fall asleep. It's whether you know the bridegroom or not. I don't know my roommate after 42 years, but he's getting a box of pretzels. 3 kinds. Amen. Oh. My turn. You can go to the work, isn't it?
Yeah.
In your bulletins, there is a yellow piece of paper. I Googled it. You can go on the Google machine and find it yourself. It's an old folk song from the 1960s. It was copyrighted in 1964 and in 1972. Some of you sang it at Bible camp. I sang it at graduate school. Yeah. In the 1980s, graduate school in Greek. I thought about making you sing it in Greek, but I'm not going to. We need to look at this is the hymn of the day, along with our Thanksgiving hymn that we're going to sing also, because you can't sing enough. You're going to follow me, we're going to sing a cappella. Go on the Google machine if you want to see all the different variations. They have lots of verses. We're singing one verse through. I'm going to sing the verse through first, so you know I'm singing it. And then you join me on the second time, and the third time we're going to raise the roof. Okay? Young people, grab a piece of yellow paper and follow along, okay? Yeah. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Hallelujah. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Now, sing it loud. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my frame, I pray, hallelujah. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Third time. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my prayer, I pray. Hallelujah, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
You're going to be humming that all week long. That's going to be your Thanksgiving song. And by the way, Jesus and God like pretzels.
We're going to sing our hymn of the day, which is the Thanksgiving hymn. One of the members told me this morning,
this is the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They sang all the hymns we're singing today. I said, well, they're so smart. It's Thanksgiving week. They should be singing these hymns.
So the hymn of the day, the sermon hymn is hymn number 689.
We can sing a cappella, but we miss you. So we're going to sing it with you.
689, Praise and Thanksgiving. Found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal, and for the prayers of the church. We confess our faith in the same words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, we pray for our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Megan Manlove. We pray this whole month of November for ELCA mission and ministry support. Nationally and around the world, and as we enter into the holy days of the next 2 months, we pray for the wars in Ukraine and Russia, Sudan, Gaza, and Israel. We pray for all people who have lost property and lives due to the wars and due to the natural disasters of hurricanes, shootings, earthquakes, and flooding in our nation and around the world. And we certainly pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs and first responders, doctors and nurses who respond to these crises and who also will be working through the holiday season. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. O God, for whom we wait, come quickly to your people. Bring your salvation and center us in hope, the hope found in you. Give your church the mission and ministry to serve you and our neighbors. Turn us from fear and from our self-serving ways. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Lord, we mark creation revealed in the cycle of seasons, changing landscapes, harvested fields, the barrenness of trees and shrubs. Direct all people in wise stewardship of all the earth's resources and gifts. Be with all the animals preparing for hibernation and the winter months. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas of the world. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show mercy, compassion, love, and hope to one another. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. Especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. And grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassion and hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all the ministries you are faithfully a part of. We give you thanks for the mission and ministries of the ELCA. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Kyrie eleison.
Lord have mercy.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially those we remember in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to be back among you. Welcome to the worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Kirk Olson, who is my grandson. Happy birthday this week to Jaden Allen, Vincent Harris, Cy Briggs, Hank Boomer, Ron Funk, Casey Weiss, Sarah Gallegos, Sammy Landvik, VJ Julio, and Nadine Carter. In the announcements today, it says that the decorating will be this Saturday, but it's going to be at 9 a.m., not 10 a.m. So we'll be decorating the church at 9 a.m. this Saturday. And then on Tuesday, you can pick up your pies from the Pink Lady in the kitchen from 3 till 6, and that is also in the bulletin room. Are there any other announcements? I invite the commissioners. I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving during communion, page 144 in the front of your hymn, page 144. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us a way of everlasting life. And so, with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymnal. Page 146.
Thank you.
blessing in post-communicant colophon on page, or hymn number 208. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Praise to you, Lord God of mercy. Praise to you forever. Praising high, the weak and holy. Thanks be to you forever. From all those who love and suffer. Thanks be to you forever. Truth and justice.
She's now 6 years old and the height of a 10-year-old. It's crazy. So thank you for being here. She is welcome anytime. I can scream louder than any baby can cry. I was called Boomer in college as a cheerleader, so there you go. Did she have the hiccups? Or was somebody else hiccuping? Oh, she had the hiccups too. I love it. We got a baby gurgling and crying and hiccuping. It's Christmas. And we don't even have the tree up yet, tree people. It's Christmas. The final hymn is hymn number, he said, 619, and there are 8 verses. I'm not going to make you sing all 8. Happy Thanksgiving. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, 5, and 8, and you're not going to remember that. So we got Vanna White up here. You're going to hold these up high, okay? And she's going to tell you what verse we're singing next, okay? So I'll tell you when to switch, okay? So 619, Vanna White, Victoria, also known as. I'm turning to it right now, 619. You know this hymn well. Sing it like you mean it. But we're singing 1, 2, 4, 5, and 8, for those of you that can keep track. But Vanna White's going to hold the papers up for us, okay? Go ahead.
Yeah.
blessed Thanksgiving to each and every one.